Market View on Money FM 89.3.
The appetite for full risk assets may have remained strong over the summer lull, but will this continue as the ongoing pandemic, geopolitical tensions, and the U.S. presidential election race continue to be disruptive for the fragile recovery and markets? Well, to find out and catch up, we're joined today by David Poe, Head of Investments Singapore at Amundi. David, thank you so much for joining us again today. It's always wonderful to have you.
We are always glad.
So David, first tell us, as we head into autumn, I mean, where has this year gone? We're already in September. Amundi's latest report shared that we've seen confirmation of existing themes and the emergence of new ones. For example, the decoupling between the real economy and financial markets has proved persistent. Do you think this is likely to continue?
Yeah, time really flies. It's really back. Now we're back into September. Year to date, I think if you look at how the market has formed, gold has done very well. Chinese stocks has done very well. So has the US stocks. In fact, they've reached a record high even before COVID-19. US government bonds and US investment grades has also done very well. But the rest of the other sectors and assets are not doing that fantastic well. It's still trading below COVID-19. That is on the valuation of the capital markets. But on the fundamentals, as you correctly mentioned, the economy still haven't got back to its firm footing. And we're not sure whether the economy is going to be a V-shaped recovery or is this going to be another downward trend, depending on whether the pandemic has its second wave or third wave. As Europe starts to reopen in the summer period, we can see that there's a lot of resurgence in some of the virus infections, especially in places like India. This coupling between the financial markets and the real economy is going to be persistent. I think in the short term, because of the liquidity that's been injected by central banks globally, the hopes of a vaccine that will cure this infection, and prior to this, there was a lot of pessimism in the earnings where the analysts out there are really pricing a lot of doom and gloom. And it turned out that the second quarter numbers are much better than expected. So there is a lot more momentum in the earnings recovery into the second half, and possibly into the next year. So are we going to see these fundamentals of the real economy turning upwards to reflect what the financial market is saying? Or are we at a point where the financial markets are too optimistic on what the real economy is saying? I think in the short term, we will see this decoupling continue. But in the longer term, whether the fundamentals will catch up with what the market is saying or whether it's the other way around, it's still too early to tell at this moment in time.
Right. So given that uncertainty in the market at the moment, David, are we still looking at a risk-off approach?
Not really. It is, again, still too early to tell whether what I sold off over the past, or in fact, last few days, it's going to be persistent into the second half of the year. We have a lot of liquidity that's supporting the market, and that is really good. If you look at what happened in the year 2008 during the global financial crisis, central banks around the world has also injected liquidity into the system. So 1 year after global financial crisis, the market recovered by about 50% over. And 5 years after 2008, the market rebounded by close to 180%. In 2020, since the COVID happened, the market has rebounded also about a similar level, plus 50% over. But is this going to be a longer term where we see what happened in 2008, 2009, where it's a long-term bull market going on for the next 4 or 5 years where it hits another doubling in terms of return? So I'm not so sure in the short term whether it's going to be a risk-off approach. But investors have to be careful. Some of the valuations, especially in the U.S. Equities, it's reached some peak level, you know, in terms of the price earnings, close to 18 times earnings. And it's not a broad-based recovery. It's all supported by a lot of tech names. Similarly, in Chinese, where I mentioned earlier, has done well this year too, it's also supported by a lot of optimism in the earnings recovery in some of the tech names. So we got to be careful in terms of asset allocation as well as stock selection in the current period.
We're speaking with David Poe, Head of Investment Singapore at Amundi. David, so what are you looking at for risk assets then, credit?
For risk assets, we are a bit more cautious on certain parts, be a little bit more selective in terms of credit. In the US space, we prefer investment grade to high yield. We have to caution investors to be a bit more to be a bit more observant, to be more observant on the quality as well as the liquidity on the credit in the US. In emerging market, we much prefer high yield to investment grade. We think that the high yield has got a lot more room for you to compress against the investment grade in emerging markets. If you look at how the valuation has done, investment grade in emerging market has narrowed to about 30-40 basis away from where it was pre-COVID. But in the high yield space, we have a lot more room for it to compress. Pre-COVID and now there's another 250 basis more before the yield compress. So I think the high yield space has a lot more room relative to the investment grade. Yeah, for equities, the US space, the equity market has done quite a fair bit in terms of where it is today. It's even higher than where it was pre-COVID. But it's not broad-based. It's very specific to certain of these five tech names. Yeah, the tech names has done very well. Similarly, in China, a lot of tech names has done pretty well too because of better than expected earnings and people are taking a lot more of a positive view on this. Emerging market equities, we much prefer China and Korea. And relative to the southern part of Asia, in Southeast Asia, we much prefer Indonesian equities against the rest of these Southeast Asian equities.
What are you going to be looking out for in the week ahead? Obviously, we've got GDP numbers coming out from Japan tomorrow. We've got some ECB moves as well. What are you going to be watching?
We are a lot more longer term than on a weekly basis.
Mm-hmm.
What we look at for the risk on the risk side is the continuous tension between US and China. US has just announced that they may impose more restrictions on the tech companies in China. And the trade tensions between US and China is also a little bit more. That's where we are focusing our attention on. This year is the election year, and it does not help in September and October in the coming months, where volatility tend to be very high in any particular market trading year. So we have September, October coming up, we have the election year, and valuation in the US is a little bit more stretched. So we are a bit more cognizant and a bit more cautious going into the few months ahead into October. And you know the US election is on November, the results will be out on November the 3rd. So we are a bit more cautious going into the next 2-3 months.
Great. Well, David, thank you so much for your insights.
You're welcome. Thank you very much and good luck.
Thanks. We've been speaking with David Poe, Head of Investment Singapore at Amundi here on Primetime on Money FM 89.3.
To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download the SPH radio app available on Google Play or the App Store.